We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Shin Yud in the Mosad Harav Kook edition.
Kof Lamed Dalet.
Kof Lamed Dalet in the Machon Shalem edition. And the Ran had been discussing that Eldad and Medad were staying in the camp, and they either stayed in the camp because they didn't want to embarrass someone else, or because they were the last two names whose lots were not drawn. So they figured God doesn't want us among his prophets, and they let everyone else go out, the other 70, and they were the two that remained behind. And then they were mitnab'im. Now, what does the word mitnab'im mean? And the Ran is now going to explore the root of the word nevu'ah. And the Ran says, ve'im kol zayu mitnab'im b'machaneh, even though they didn't go out with everyone else, and they weren't drawn in the lots, they were nonetheless mitnab'im, which we might translate to mean receiving prophecy. Umitnab'im umibinyan hitpa'el. So grammatically we can say mitnab'im is one who was acted upon. Shehu mesavev la'vi davar al atzmo. But the Ran wants to say that to be mitnab'im is to be actively involved in receiving something. So mitnabe is not a passive receipt. It's not that I'm standing here and they're pouring the water on my head. Prophecy is descending upon me. But rather, no. A person is actively focusing, preparing himself spiritually to receive that prophecy. We know there were people who would go to seclude themselves in order to attain prophecy. So too Eldad and Medad, even though they were not those drawn in the lots, nonetheless, here they were preparing themselves to receive prophecy. So the Ran says, the word mitnabe means to actively prepare oneself for prophecy. And then even if one did not attain prophecy, Nikra'im mitnab'im. Nonetheless, a person is called mitnabei, because the word mitnabei, according to the Ran, means active preparation. Kinyan shekatuv. Yesh mitasher ve'en kol. The verse says you have those. Now, this is the key here, how he's translating the word mitasher. We would translate it as a person who becomes wealthy. And the Ran is translating it as a person who strives to become wealthy. The Ran learns that the word mit asher means one who works to become wealthy. Shegam lo esigo shekarui mit asher. Even if a person doesn't attain wealth, if he's striving to attain wealth, that's called mit asher. So that's not the way we use it in modern Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, mit asher means he became wealthy. The Ran says, no, mitasher means he acted to become wealthy. Sometimes he's successful and sometimes not. By the same token, mitnab'im means acting to attain prophecy. Either they succeed or they do not. That's why Yoshua comes along and says, my master Moshe, incarcerate them. Look at what they're doing. They're working against God's will. God said they're left out, and they're working to attain the prophecy. So put them in jail. Yoshua was also concerned. He said maybe the reason they're working to attain prophecy is not a pious reason, but rather because they don't want to be left out. They want to be part of the leadership. He says, yesterday they weren't working to attain prophecy. The day before you didn't see them trying to attain prophecy. Now suddenly they were drawn out of the crowd. They were chosen not to be prophets. We had 72 people, of which 70 were chosen. These two were left out. Now suddenly they're trying to attain prophecy. So Yeshua says, it certainly seems like they're not striving for prophecy in its pure form. On the contrary, they want prophecy in order to take control, to tell people what to do. Mipnei ze bikesh Yoshua v'amar, and that's why Yoshua requested, Yoshua said, Kilaim, Moshe, imprison them. Ratza shion sham mida keneged mida. Yoshua wanted the punishment to fit the crime. Ki hem ayu rotzim liot hanagat Yisrael al yadam, v'shiyu mshabdim tachtehim. They want everyone to be bound by their word. They want to attain prophecy so they could be in control of what others do. So the fitting punishment is that they should lose control of themselves. They should be put in jail where they have the exact opposite outcome. A person in jail, of course, he doesn't control others. Even his own actions are controlled by others. So that's what a good friend of mine told me. I have a friend who sat in jail for about a year. And he said to me that spending one day in jail can cause a person serious psychological damage. He said, the fact that you're in a setting where every minute other people can tell you what to do and do tell you what to do. You're told when to wake up, when to sleep, when to go out, when to come in. That can affect the person. I remember when he came out of jail. So he came home the first day, and his mom gave him money and said, why don't you go buy some groceries? So he stood there looking at the groceries and looking at his mother incredulously. This is a man who grew up normal, right? At the age of about 17, 18, he was put into jail, and when he came out, he stood there looking at the money, not knowing what he's supposed to do. I can just walk down to the store and buy food. It took him time to get out of it. So jail does this to a person where suddenly I'm not in control. It's the exact opposite. Other people control me. So Yeshua tells Moshe, if they want to control the masses, if they are so corrupt that they're working to attain prophecy in order to go against God's will so that they can tell everyone what to do, so then the fitting punishment is to put them in jail where they are told what to do. Umosheban v'tanuto yeshivo. In Moshe, in his modesty, answers Yoshua and says, Hamkaneh atali. Are you being zealous on my behalf? Ratzaloma, what Moshe means to say is, ki en v'zeh inyan ra'uy lachush elav, ki makinan Moshe bavu kvodo. Moshe says, there's nothing to be concerned here. The only room for concern is for my honor. And that, Moshe says, not worried about that. Moshe says, I'm not worried that there's going to be a disruption in the leadership here. He says to Yeshua, if God approves it, so then I have nothing to worry about. Prophecy doesn't just come because they worked at it. If God agreed to speak to them, so then obviously that's going to work out. I'm not worried about it. What are you worried about? My honor? I'm not worried. A few months ago, someone came with a question, and I thought the answer was that it was prohibited, but I thought there might be room to permit it, but I didn't feel like I was big enough that I should take that on my responsibility, so I sent the person to one of my teachers. He looked at it, and he said, it's permitted. So I said, good, I'm happy I sent him. But when I got on the phone with him, I said, you looked at it closely and you're saying that's permitted? He said, yeah, it's permitted. I said, okay. If the rabbi says, fine. Okay. Half hour later, I get a phone call. The rabbi says, you know, I had a bunch of people here. I looked at it and I thought it was permitted, but I looked at it again and you're right. You can't permit that. So he said, could you catch the person and call him back and tell him? So I said, and what should I say? How am I supposed to explain that? Initially, I said this, and then I said that. So the rabbi asked me, what's the problem? I said, what am I supposed to say in terms of what the Rav said last time, now the Rav's saying now? So he said, I don't understand what the problem is. You tell him I made a mistake. You know, I was concerned for his honor, like I'm supposed to say that about him. And he was, he couldn't understand what I wanted from his life. What are you worried about? Yes, I'm human. I made a mistake. Call him back and say, I made a mistake. I looked at it. I didn't look at it closely enough. Now that I looked at it more closely, I see, no, you're right. The truth is, it was something that had to be seen. And he saw it in one lighting. And later on, he had the opportunity to see it in a better lighting. And then he saw what I was talking about. But fine, you know. It shocked me how modest he was, that he couldn't understand what I was asking him. Like, what's the problem? Yes, I made a mistake. You call him up and say, I made a mistake. Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yoshua, what's the problem? My honor? That doesn't matter. That's what Moshe tells Yoshua. I wish everyone were prophets. God should give his spirit to everyone. רצה בזה שאילו היו מתאמצים לעלות במעלת הנהגת ישראל מצד אחר, היה אפשר שימשך איזשהו קלקול. אבל לאחר שיסכים השם יתברך בזה ושייתן תרוחו עליהם, אין רואי לכו שימשך מזה רוע סידור כלל. Moshe says, if you had people competing for the leadership of Israel by other means, then you're right, we'd have room for concern. But if the means in which they're competing with me is through prophecy, that's all from God. What do I have to worry about? Shein davar ra yored min hashamayim. Nothing bad would come down from heaven. Shekvar nishmar shein pach mizek asher nabu shivim azkenim sheratza sheyu kulam mushpeim mMoshe. And now the Ran really concludes the thought with the punchline that there was room for concern. That's what the Ran built up initially. But once Hashem established 70 elders, and he said, those 70 elders with Moshe run the show. So you have a situation, it seems, the Ran is saying, you have a situation where it's me and 70 saying the same thing. So if other people are going to start coming up with something else, there's no danger in that, because there's already a leadership, a hierarchy that's been established, and that's a unified front. Now that you have that set up, so then there's no more room for concern. So these two can get their prophecy, and other ones can get their prophecy, and there's no threat to the people at large. Whoever can attain prophecy, let them attain prophecy. Then no harm can come of it, because you do have a unified front in the hierarchy of the leadership.
We touched on this last week, though.